Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. God bless you. God bless you. As Apostle Brown liked to say, our pastor at Noonday Prayer Church, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad therein. We give thanks to God for this opportunity once again. We give thanks to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we give thanks for the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Every believer receives the Holy Spirit once he and her accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And truly, truly, it is such a great, great blessing to be born again. And we are not to take it for granted. We are not to take God's blessings for granted each and every day. Each and every day to be alive once we give our lives to the Lord. We are working toward our salvation. We are supposed to be working to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to witness to those that are lost. God put people in all of our ways that you might not meet, but some Christians might meet. And we are to engage, if we're engaging in conversation, I engage in conversation with people I meet. But before we depart, I always ask them, do they know my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I love to do it that way. I just don't bust out, you going to hell. You going to hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't do that. It's a way to do it. And Proverbs let us know that we're to do things with wisdom, understanding, and with knowledge. And when we are in God's word daily, God is constantly teaching us not only how to walk, but how to be a witness to others. He said for us to make disciples, and that is to witness and tell others about Jesus so that they might get convicted. It's the Holy Spirit and God's word that convict lost man, lost woman, lost boy and girl. And when they are convicted, they want to change their life. They want to receive Jesus as their personal Savior so that he can forgive them for their sin. Because the Bible says in Romans 3, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But once we accept Jesus, then we are the righteousness of God. Thank God for our pastor, Apostle Franklin Brown, who's out of town with his wife, Pastor Ethel Brown in Atlanta, Georgia, and we just thank God for them. And we pray that you'll continue to pray, keep them in prayer, that God will continue to bless them spiritually, mentally, and financially, and God will continue to direct them in the ministry that he has given them for Noonday Prayer Church. We are representative here of Noonday Prayer Church. And we are praying that you will pray with us and those that are able to give toward our church building. We are saving for our church house of prayer, that we will put the name of the Lord Jesus on. We'll put God there. We'll put the Holy Spirit there. And they will be there to help us to teach the word of God to God's people, to bring lost souls to salvation, to be a blessing food-wise and clothes-wise in the neighborhood, to be a blessing not only in the neighborhood community, but to be a blessing in the cities, states, all the states in the United States, all the countries in the world, to be a great, great blessing. Beloved, let us make sure that we don't allow anything, anyone, you heard me say this before, don't allow anything, anyone keep you from serving the Lord. Don't let man, woman, boy, girl, mama, father, sister, brother, sons and daughters, friends, relatives, the devil and his demonic forces keep you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what we are doing now is that once we have given our lives to the Lord, we're living a life to show the world that Jesus Christ is for real. We are a representative of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give thanks to Elder Hall, Dorothy Hall, for giving me this opportunity to bring the messages on Tuesday here. And we just pray that you'll continue to pray for her and her family, that God will continue to bless them. And she have a great assignment from the Lord. And we just pray that you would keep her in prayer, that God would strengthen her to do her assignment, and that you will bless her and you will bless her and pray for her health, that God will give her even greater health. And then we pray God will bless her finance as well, because God can multiply finance. God can do all things, we know, but fail. This is the 38th message on Jesus Christ. We're doing a series of messages on Jesus Christ if you're new. And the day is July 13, 2021. Boy, time do not wait for anyone. Time don't wait for anyone. And, of course, our subtopic is highly exalted. And who else is highly exalted but Jesus Christ? He is indeed highly, highly exalted. Let's go to the throne of grace. First of all, let's pray here. Father in heaven, we come to the throne of grace and mercy right now. We come in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you gave Jesus to be the Savior of the world. We thank you, God, that one day you touched our hearts and caused us to realize spiritually that we was headed for a devil and his demonic forces, hell. And the only way that we could change that is to believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that he lived a perfect life in our stead, in all humanity's stead. And then he died on a sinful cross. And then God raised him from the dead, and he's now seated on the right hand of God the Father. Bless your people that are on the call right now. You know their needs. We pray you'll bless those that desired to be on the call, but they could not for whatever reason. We pray, God, that you will bless your people everywhere. No one can bless like you can bless. We pray that you'll continue to bless our pastor, Apostle Franklin Brown, and his wife, Pastor Elka Brown. We pray that you will continue to strengthen them spiritually, physically, and mentally, and continue to bless their finances. Continue to use them for your glory, honor, and praise. God, we know that you have us all on assignment, because we're all making up the body of Jesus Christ, which is not complete yet, but the body of Jesus Christ is still being formed. And we pray for every believer, not only we that are on the call for the message, but believers everywhere throughout the earth. We pray for each one, Lord, every man, every woman, every boy and girl, that you will bless. Bless spiritually. Strengthen spiritually. Bless mental clarity. Bless mentally. Bless physically. We pray for healing for your people everywhere. The manifestation of healing in the lives of your people, that by his stripes we'll heal. We'll heal spiritually first, and then we claim physical healing as well in the name of Jesus. Bless our leaders everywhere. Bless all those that you have assigned to be the angel of different churches throughout the earth that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only preaching the gospel, but are living the gospel. Help us all as believers to be doers of your word and not only hearers, Lord. A special prayer, Lord, right now for our young people at Noonday Prayer Church, first of all, that you would bless each and every one of them and cause them to realize more and more how much you love them. Continue to reveal yourself to them through your word and through miraculous ways that you have chosen. Cause them to realize how much you love them. Cause them to realize that every need that they need, you will supply. Bless our young lady that is in recuperation, I understand, in Orlando. We pray, God, that you will strengthen her. Strengthen her mind, strengthen her spirit, and cause her to realize that God is a forgiving God. We pray that you'll have mercy upon her. Have mercy upon our young people everywhere, not only at Noonday Prayer Church, but everywhere. Have mercy upon our young people, because we realize that they are our future. We pray you'll bless them in a special way. Strengthen them to do your word. Help us all to be doers of your word, not only our young people, but help us all to be doers of your great word of truth. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. Help us to be humble so that you might exalt us, abase us so that you might exalt Jesus Christ in our lives. Help us to walk in the footstep of Jesus. Help us to talk the word, your word, the word that Jesus has spoken, because we know that he's the incarnated word of you, God. We pray that you'll bless those that are lost. We pray that you'll have mercy upon those that are lost. We pray that you'll have mercy upon each one and give them an opportunity while they yet exist to once again hear your word, that they might come to know Jesus in repentance and receiving Christ as their personal Savior, even as we have. Have mercy upon our nation. Have mercy upon America, Lord. Have mercy upon our leaders, President, Vice President on down, Biden, Harris. Have mercy upon our cabinets and all of those that are in political office, not only in Washington, D.C., senators and governors and mayors in different cities and states. Cause them to make righteous and godly decisions. We pray for foreign lands and countries, that your mercy will be there as well. And we know that, God, your mercy is everywhere, because you're no respecter person. Bless every tongue, every nation, every kindred, every people to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and to make righteous and godly decisions. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Call to preach the gospel. Not by man, neither by men, but by God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith in the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how can they hear except they hear from a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of joy. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty them that are bruised and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and vengeance of our God. Oh, boy, I just thank God for once again for the day. Just a beautiful, beautiful day outside here in Deltona, Florida. And I think periodically about some of the friendships that I had in my younger years. Some of the guys that I went to school with, some of the guys that I partied when I wasn't living for the Lord. And I think about the ones that have passed, the ones that are no longer with us. And Lord, I realize it could have been me. I could have been gone, but it's only because of God's mercy, not what I've done, but because of God's mercy. The Bible says God have mercy on whom he will. And beloved, God cannot sin. God is righteous and he holy. God do not make any mistakes. I think back at some of those young men, and I say, Lord, could I have witnessed better? What could I have said or what could I have done to bring some of them to the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ? And the Lord let me know that we are responsible for giving his word, for witnesses. And I did that. I did that. Maybe I should have done it more, but I did that. I told them about Jesus. And a couple of them went to church with me a couple of times and so forth. But some of them never gave their life to the Lord, and they're no longer here. And the Bible let us know that either you're with God or you're not. You either are with him or you're not with him. He said that you cannot serve two masters. You will hate the one and cleave to the other. We pray that in these last days, every day that God give us as a believer to live, to be ready to witness to someone that do not know the Lord, or to find out if they know the Lord so that they might allow us to tell them about Jesus. We are to witness and to bring souls into the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. This is Peter, in the book of Peter now. We're dealing with the flood. We're dealing with the flood, but we're going to first read our scriptures from Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 to 11. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 to 11, we're reading from the Revised Standard Bible. We're reading these verses periodically from different translations so that we might get a greater understanding of these verses of Scripture. We'll start with verse 6 from Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 to 11. And it reads, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And truly we know that he is Lord. We that are born again know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank God for Jesus paying the price for us. Once again, our messages is centered on Jesus Christ, and a lot of these messages showing us why we needed Jesus Christ to come because of the humanity sin. And we are doing our messages in reference to the seven dispensation, the dispensation of innocent we have covered, where Adam and Eve was completely blameless. They was completely perfect. They had no sin. But once they allowed and listened to the demonic forces, the devil and his angels, listened to the devil mainly because he's the leader, Satan, Lucifer, who was kicked out of heaven, we know. And he was already here when Adam and Eve was put on the earth. And then once they obeyed him and disobeyed God by not eating of the tree of good and evil in the center, then the dispensation of conscience began. We were no longer in the dispensation of innocence, but then we entered the dispensation of conscience, where man was able to do whatever he wanted to do, and we are seeing how sinful man was during this period of time for men taking place with Cain killing his brother Abel, during that period of time was hundreds of years between the time that Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit and the dispensation of conscience started with Cain and went all the way to Noah, and we are still at Noah. And each time I think I'm about ready to close out with Noah, the Lord let me know that it's not time. There's other verses of scriptures and other words that he want me to expound on a little bit. But let's go to Genesis, please, the seventh chapter. We stopped at the seventh verse, but we're going to read from the fifth verse to the seventh once again. Genesis, the seventh chapter of Genesis, verses 5, 6, and 7. I want to read those verses. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Boy, I tell you, we can expound for hours just on this verse of scripture. We're not going to do it, but we can certainly do it, and it would be in order. It's just so important to be obedient to God. That's what God always required from Adam and Eve, to be obedient. They disobeyed. And we all was in Adam and Eve. We all would have done the same thing. You're going to hear me say that periodically. But, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I wouldn't have sinned. You would have. Everybody would have sinned. They were perfect and they sinned it. You know, we are sinful from their sin. But we are now the righteousness of God. Every believer that is born again is now, right now, the righteousness of God. We are no longer sinners. We have accepted Jesus Christ in our lives. We are Christians. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. We are the righteousness of God. We are not sinners. Sinners have not come to know the Lord as their personal Savior. And Noah did according unto all, not some of the things. I tell you, that's what God wants. You know, he wants us all to do all that he has commanded us. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. What God told Noah to do, he did. Told him to build that ark. And Noah, we know, was a farmer and a preacher. So he was still preaching while he was building that ark for 120 years now. We know it don't say it here, but we know Noah didn't build that ark by himself. You know, we know his wife, sons, and daughter, they all had choices, to do. They all had jobs to do. They worked together to build an ark. No one else outside of Noah's family built that ark. No way. Because they didn't believe. None of them believed. Because if they would have believed, they'd have been on that ark with Noah. God would have saved them as well. They didn't believe in Noah preaching about God. Yeah, no, he's crazy. They're all crazy. I'm quite sure all the folks said that until that flood came. And then, of course, it was too late. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. We as believers, we want all the blessings that God has for us. And God wants us to have all the blessings, give us all the blessings that he would have for us. And we all have different blessings, and we have a lot of the same blessings from his word. But brothers and sisters, we got to be obedient if we want, not in just something. God not only wants us to be obedient in believing his word and allowing him to live through us. Now, right now, we need to know this for a fact. We want to live for the Lord, but we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit living in us. Without his word living in us, we cannot live the holy life. We see that in the Old Testament. They tried. Man, did they try, but they failed every time. Every one failed. David and all of them, Noah, Joseph, all of them failed. Abraham, they failed because we need God, the Holy Spirit, in order to live the life which is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. So that's part of our prayer. Let it be part of our prayer that God will allow us to allow him by his word and Holy Spirit to live the life which is pleasing and acceptable in his sight. Now, when we do wrong, God is still blessing us. It We get less blessings when we do wrong. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, say God chastised those that he loved. Now, I got chastised when I was a kid. Boy, man, I tell you, every time I look around, my mama was sending me out there in that backyard to get a gobble switch or a mulberry switch. Oh, man, that thing hurt. Then the next day I forget and I do something else. And boy, I must have got 7 days a week. I guess I had to get 3 or 4 days every week. 3 or 4 days I got whooping, man. I think sometimes 2 times in a day. I just, that's sinful nature, boy. I'm going to do what I want to do, I guess. And, man, I tell you, the Bible is so correctly in every way. The Bible say in Proverbs, train a child up in the way that he should go. And, boy, did she train me. She trained all of us. But, boy, especially me. I got most of the beatings and so forth. I don't think my sister Molly got none. My 3 sisters, 1 or 2, that's it, maybe. But, boy, every time you look around, that whip was on my legs and my butt and everywhere. That thing hurt. I had shorts on, too. Hey, but God blesses obedience. And when I was obedient, and I was obedient most of the time, believe me, because my father, he didn't play. But anyway, I got blessings. You know what I mean? I got blessings. And God blesses us. We get more blessings when we're obedient. That's the point. From verse 5, you get all of the blessing when we do all the things that God has commanded us to do. We get all of his blessings then. But when we sin and do wrong, contrary to what God tells us to do, we still are blessed because he continues to bless us with life, health, and strength. But we don't get all the blessings that God wants for us because of this disobedience. And then that's when Hebrews, the 12th chapter, come in there where God take out the whip of correction. Boy, I had that whip, too. I had that whip a couple of times where I backslide. I backslide when I was in seminary because I told the Lord I couldn't do that. These guys are intelligent, and I ain't intelligent like that or whatever. But, hey, God put that rod on me, boy. And I tell you, that thing hurt. When God beat you, you've been beaten. At least when your parent beat you, it hurt for that moment, then it go away, but God continued to chastise us when we do wrong. Verse 6 says, from the 7th chapter of Genesis, it says, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Boy, man, that's a lot of age. You know, people lived a long time during that period of time. From Adam and Eve, it don't say how long the women lived, but we think that they lived, I believe that they lived 800-900 years too. I believe they lived a long time as well because God say multiply. I believe it was no problem for a woman to have 100 children. Now, whether that is true or not, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, probably 50 kids or whatever, probably no problem during that period of time, especially when you're talking about living 800-900 years old. But Noah, at this time, Noah was 600 years old, and I would say that was relating to us living 900 years or whatever. That was probably in the middle age. You know, we look at middle age, 30s, 40s, I think, but 600, especially when he lived to be 935 years or so. So I'll tell you, that was a lot of years during that period of time. But we can thank God that, you know, when we leave this earth, and none of us are in a hurry, hopefully none of us is in a hurry, I'm surely not, is that once we leave here, we go into infinite. We go into eternity where there's no time zone like now. We go into infinite time. And, man, I tell you, that's going to be so, so, so glorious. We can't even comprehend how glorious it's going to be. No more pain, no more sickness. Joy, peace, and happiness will be surrounded by holiness and righteousness, no more sin. Verse 7 of Genesis, the 7th chapter, say, and Noah went in. And he went into the ark, him and his sons and his wife, and his son's wife with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And then, of course, verse 8, talking about the beasts and everything going in there as well, two of each kind. Verse 9 is speaking on the same thing as well, female and male of these different kinds of animals and beasts. And then verse 10 say, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood was upon the earth. Wow, man. You know, was that a scary time? You know, as I was studying Noah's here and doing my research, it came to me, you know, of course, you know, was Noah and his family afraid when they were on the ark and God closed the door? Was they afraid? Now, first of all, we got to realize that they are human just like we are. Noah and his family are human. They're human, human beings just like we are. And some things we just have a tendency to be fearful about. You know, a lot of people are fearful of different kind of animals, dogs. Different kind of dogs frighten people. You know, snakes frighten people and whatnot. You know, cats. Some people are even scared of horses and lions and tigers. And of course, we got a right to be scared of them now. But during that period of time, they wasn't afraid of animals because the animals wasn't vicious and mean like they are today. You know, lions and horses, everything was put on this ark. You know, over 1,000 types of animals was on this ark. But what I want to concentrate on for a minute here, what the Lord wants me to concentrate on, was they fearful? I believe that they were. Once the water started coming up, and the water had never came up that high before, they had not ever been locked into a facility as the ark. Locked in there because God shut the door and no one could get in and out. And, of course, they didn't want to get out. Believe me, Noah and his family didn't want to get out when they heard that water and that rain. The Bible say that, and we're going to read that later on, that the heavens opened up and poured out rain and lifted the ark up and lifted that ark up. I believe that they were afraid. They was afraid, but I also believe that God consoled them. And we're not going to get into that part right now, but we believe that God consoled them. But we want to look a little bit at the Word of God in reference to fear, you know, because you know, there's some things we are fearful. It's just the way it is. We have a reverence fear for God. We honor God. You know, we're not fearful of God because of who he is and be scared of him. God don't want us to be scared of him, but he wants us to honor him. It said that fear is a natural response to challenges or the unknown. As Christians, we don't need to fear because we know God is in control. Don't we know God in control? The Bible says in Romans 8 that he has never leave us nor forsaken us. You know, Jeremiah let us know that, you know, God is with us. He's with us. You know what I mean? And boy, that is so good to know that he said he'll never leave us, not forsaken us. Fear can be real or imagined. The imagined kind of fear has spiritual roots. The fear that comes from depression and anxiety can be overcome. Those things can be overcome. It is so many people that we are unaware of, and maybe we might have probably went through. I probably went through depression at times myself and anxiety. But God don't want us to go through depression and anxiety because he said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right there. Boy, ain't that good? Oh, boy, I tell you, when you hear from God, boy, that's some good news. You know, he said, first of all, I am your God. Man, I like that. I am your God. He is our Father. Look, he said, I will. I will strengthen you. And that strengthening us is a continuous strengthening. He just don't strengthen us and leave us. He continued to strengthen us. Then he said, I will help you. And then he said, I will uphold you. Man, I tell you, when God say he's going to do some things, you can believe he's going to do it. And boy, we like to hear these words from God saying he's going to strengthen us, he's going to help us. And I'm quite sure he told them that as well. Although they didn't have this word here, but God was able to tell them, you know, be still and know that I am God, while he was on there being afraid and fearful. And it was the human type of fear. They wasn't fearful of God, but man, the waves are that water, that sound outside, you know, that they never seen before, but they can only hear it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Thank God. I tell you, the Holy Spirit, I tell you, that lives in us. And, of course, they didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit then. But God didn't give us the spirit of fear. God do not want us to be fearful. God do not want us to be fearful. And Christians, depression, fear, you can have a person pray for you. If you have fear and the spirit of fear will go. However, when this spirit come back to check you out and you were never taught how to fight the fight of faith and resist the spirit of fear, oftentimes the fear will come back. This happened because you would think the prayer did not work. I must be doing something wrong. God did not answer my prayer and so forth and so forth. To prevent this, it is better for you to overcome oppression by relying on the word of God and the finished work of Jesus for yourself. I tell you, we've got, as believers, we've got to stay in the word of God every day. And sometimes we are going to miss from being in the word of God. It's okay. We're human. But we are got to be in the word of God. And it's always good to learn some of these scriptures in the Bible. And some of the scriptures that resonate with you. You know what I mean? I remember at one time I had learned 400 or 500 verses of scripture. But, of course, if you don't repeat them daily, you'll forget most of them. But a lot of them are come familiar when I'm reading the Bible, studying the Bible, studying the word. But I know a lot of scriptures as well. God wants us to love his word and to know his word. When you overcome, you will know that it is Jesus who accomplished the victory for you. He is your intercessor. He's my intercessor. He's our intercessor and the finisher of our faith, Jesus. I tell you, boy, oh, man, thank God for Jesus. He is our intercessor. He's on the right hand of God right now, intercessing for us. God, I paid the price for them. Boy, that's good news. He's the finisher of our faith because he's the one that was able to do what we couldn't do. Relying on him and doing your part, resisting and fighting the good fight of faith. James 4:7. Your relationship with Jesus will be on fire when you overcome the oppression. And you do not have to rely on another person to get you set free. Until you deal with the spirit of fear yourself, it's difficult to get complete freedom from fear, and it will try to come back. This applies also to any other issue you may be dealing with, bitterness, jealousy, unforgiveness, and a sense of abandonment or rejection. Fear and torment. Fear can be real or imagined. The imagined kind of fear has spiritual roots. As you understand that fear, depression, suicide thought, bipolar condition, not having peace and joy are all spiritual issues. And you bring the scripture, individual and a group, to bear on these spiritual forces arrayed against you, you're going to have success in your pursuit of holiness. God do not want us to be fearful. And I'm quite sure at the beginning on this ark, they were indeed fearful and afraid and had some anxiety too, because they was in a total new arena, things that had not ever happened, being closed in like that and not able to get out, that feel for itself. And then hearing of the rain and hearing of the ship, the boat, the ark just being tossed about somewhat. It wasn't always calm. It was tossed about because of the water, because of the waves. And they had a fear until God was able to let them know that all was going to be well. And I'm quite sure they believed it when they got on there, on the ark, that all was going to be well. But did God spoke to them verbally? He could have. He could have. We don't know. We might assume that he did, but we don't know. I believe, and I could be wrong, I believe the Lord allowed some angels, heavenly angels, to present themselves on this ark to sing praises to God, to sing heavenly glorious song, to rest their mind at peace, that the fear and anxiety would leave immediately and would never come back during those 150 so days out there on the water in the ark. And of course, we know that they had many tasks to do because they had to clean up behind the animals. Of course, God could have done that miraculous. I don't believe he did, but I believe they had a compartment on the ship to throw away what needed to be thrown away in the water from the animals. And then you think about the food. You know what I mean? Today, if we don't have a refrigerator or a place to store our food, it would go bad. How did they store their food? I'm quite sure they had a compartment to store their food. Maybe they did some kind of canning, like similar to canning, like and whatnot. God could have fed them as well. He did it with the children of Israel in the wilderness, man and quail. He did it. The Bible don't say, but God could have fed them. And we know that they was vegetarian; they were not eating any meat. So the animal was in, they was in good stead because they were going to be killed and ate. But they was all vegetarian, you know, eating vegetables and herbs and different things of that nature, nuts and berries and so forth. But how was that preserved? God gave them a way to preserve it. And I believe that he also rained down food for them on different occasions. I could be wrong, but that's what I believe. But if he did miraculous brought food to them, rain food onto the ark for them to eat, he gave them the knowledge to create ways to preserve the food because, you know, even when we put lettuce and tomatoes and different things in the refrigerator, man, it lasts for, what, a week? Next thing you know, boy, it don't turn rye, you know what I mean? And you talking about 150 days or so here on the ark. They had no refrigerator, you know. They had no freezer. You know, so we don't know how they were able to preserve that food, but we believe that God gave them knowledge to preserve it. And of course, I believe that miraculous sometime he miraculous fed them with manna or quail or different things, a whole lot of things that God could have done. But either way, they was able to continue to live and they was healthy all those 150 days. We thank God for you. And as always, I must tell you, if a person don't know how to come to know the Lord and might be on the call, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he's the Savior of the world and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to God except he comes to Jesus. I ask Jesus to forgive you for your sin and to come into your life and save you. Father in heaven, we thank you for everyone that was on the call this day. We pray that you'll continue to bless each and every one. Help each of us, Lord, to keep our faith in you. Help us to continue to trust in you. Help us to continue to realize how much you love us. Help us to be obedient to your word. Continue to work through us for your well-pleasing. Let your will be done on this earth. Let your will be done in our lives and in our family lives. Bless all of us. Bless mankind everywhere. Bless believers continually. We love you, we praise you, and we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I don't know.